Hey all, you are listening to the CS Mentor podcast, All Things Customer Success. Today I'm speaking to Ronnie Gown. Ronnie is a fellow top 100 customer success strategist and remains really active in customer success community. With over 25 years of experience in customer facing roles, Ronnie is an expert in building and nurturing customer relationships, and this is what we would be speaking about today. Ronnie, welcome to the CS Mentor podcast. I'm delighted to have you here as the first guest for season two.
Thank you so much, Ankit. I'm honored to be your first guest and excited to talk about customer success with you.
Great. So, Ronnie, before we start talking about customer relationships in detail, I think it would be nice to get to know you a little. So, would you mind providing us a little bit of information, an introduction about who you are, your career to date, and also your first stint as a CSM?
Yeah, interestingly, my career really hasn't been very linear, like most people. Mm-hmm. I did start my career in media. I spent actually a couple decades there, and I held a bunch of different roles in sales and operations, account management. I even dabbled a bit in marketing. Mm-hmm. And I made the move to software as a service in 2013. And since then, I've held a number of individual contributor, player coach, and even leadership roles. Mm-hmm. I've been pretty industry agnostic as well. So I've supported SMB to global enterprise. I've been in multifamily, MarTech, collaboration, IoT, database management, but I've been practicing customer success management. Regardless, I would say all the way back to 1992-ish. It's always been my responsibility to ensure the success of my customers. And I think that the fundamentals of customer success maybe were not identified or labeled, but I was certainly performing in that capacity.
You have definitely done a lot, Ronnie. And you know, a strange thing, 1992 is my birth year. Anyways, thanks for sharing your journey, Ronnie. It is not just amazing, but also inspiring. I'm so glad to have you here. Certainly, a lot has changed in customer success domain. Companies are now learning faster and businesses have changed too. But I'm sure there must be something that hasn't changed yet and that would never change. So Ronnie, according to you, what would be the first thing, the number one thing that you always needed and you would need as a customer success manager?
You know, my answer to that number one is empathy. Mm-hmm. So we toss that word around a lot right now, especially with the pandemic and so many difficult things going on in our personal lives. But as a customer success professional, empathy is really important. And I think it ties really well to the five elements of emotional intelligence. Yeah. It's one of the mm-hmm. five. And emotional intelligence, or EQ, if people call it often, it's a little mysterious right now, but I think it's a crucial skill in business. Mm-hmm. And I say skill because it's something you can be taught. You just have to exercise it. So it's not something that you have mm-hmm. innately and you can't ever That's learn right. it. And along with that, being able to truly understand what it's like to be in your customer's head, right? Not just sitting at their desk using your product or service. Mm-hmm. It's what's going on in their head. And that's how you exhibit empathy sincerely. It's by feeling with your customer, not for your customer. And having that separation can really give you an advantage when you are driving value for them and leading them to success.
That's right. I certainly agree, Ronnie. You know, it would definitely give an edge. And empathy is definitely one of the crucial skills to become a great CSM. I believe that being in customer shoes really help a lot. Well, Ronnie, I see a lot of companies these days talk about being proactive. However, a lot of CSMs complain that their job is very reactive. I have seen this when I talk to different people, you know, in India. They say, you know, I'm not enjoying my role because my job is very reactive. I'm working on support. And, you know, I think that I can become even more proactive. What's your view on that?
I think there's always going to be some element of having to be reactive. But recently, there was a post by Megan Bowen at Refine Labs. And mm-hmm. she said in there, listen to respond, not react. And I think that's one way that we can start to tip the pendulum in the other direction, is just by being an active listener. I think active listening in general is a skill that we overrate ourselves as being good at. But again, it is a skill that requires exercise, like emotional intelligence, like empathy. And so my interpretation of what she said is really being very aware of that while we're listening, don't simultaneously be thinking of how we're going to react. Be prepared to respond, you know, in a way that shifts the conversation, especially a difficult one, into a more proactive, changing it so that you are able to bring the conversation forward and look for solutions. So if you think of the word react, it tends to be, it has a bit of an emotional context to it. It kind of makes you feel like you're, you know, jumping in, as opposed to just listening to respond and taking in the information before you reply.
Yeah, totally get it, Ronnie. You know, communication is like a bread and butter for the CSMs. And I certainly agree that active listening, it would lead to empathy and it would lead to become more proactive. So it would definitely help CSMs. Now, you know, as CSMs, we should aim to respond and help our customers. And that's being said, I have a question on the similar lines, Ronnie. At times, we as CSMs run into different conflicts, sometimes with internal teams, sometimes with third-party vendors, or sometimes even with customers. How do you think we can resolve that?
Right. I think, you know, the theme here is listening. I think for a long time, we have been, you know, trained to want to solve problems as quickly as possible in the you know, in the easiest possible way. And that's just not always possible today with our customers. And even our internal teams, as you mentioned, third-party vendors are using a lot of different tools and apps, and the teams are getting more complex and segmented. So really, again, it's applying that core skill of a CSM, which is listening. You don't know what you don't know. And the same applies to the customer. Which makes listening even more imperative. And you can't learn what your customer needs if you're not listening. This can be where conflicts arise, of course. CSMs are responsible for explaining the customer's plight to their cross-functional peers. And we want to approach our cross-functional peers with just as much empathy, right? They don't know everything that we have on our plate. We don't know everything that they have going on, but it is important that we explain the realities of what can and cannot be accomplished to our customers, but we need to understand from our cross-functional peers and not make those assumptions. Again, if you don't listen, you don't learn, and therefore you're not going to be a great manager. A great messenger. And resolving conflicts in general as a CSM, I think one of a core skill is finesse. Being able to quickly kind of course correct when dissatisfaction is evident in a conversation, that helps you to be able to move the conversation along when a proposed solution gets traction and not get stuck in the weeds.
Got it. Yeah. Wonderful, Ronnie. I believe this would be super helpful to many of the CSMs. Well, we discussed about the situation where we ran into conflicts. Sort of a situation where over communication is there. What about the opposite problem, Ronnie? At times, I have seen many customers going dormant or becoming unresponsive. Like, I actually have this situation right now for one of my customers. So, have you ever been into this situation? If yes, how do you solve it?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think that's part of the ebb and flow of the customer relationship. And you have to have a level of comfort with that to some degree. If you do have a dormant customer, though, it's, you know, it is up to you as the CSM to the CS professional, whatever your role is, to understand why and see what you can do to change that. And it's very easy to jump to the conclusion that they're unhappy or they're dissatisfied in some way. But the reality is there, like I mentioned earlier, there's a lot going on in everyone's lives right now. Mm-hmm. And there's a very high possibility that their lack of communication or engagement's completely unrelated to you or related to your solution. If you do determine that it's because something is not going the way they expected with your solution, then the goal would be to ask questions. And you have to get creative about how to get them to give you that information, of course, but that also leans on the relationship that you've cultivated and that you've nurtured. That can be, like I said, it can be tricky to navigate. It depends, again, a lot on the relationship that you have with the customer. I mean, I know somebody who creates his own memes to introduce humor when he's trying to engage. He'll send like a skeleton that says, you know, CSM waiting for response from customer, fun things like that. I've even put, for customers that I've known well, I've even put in the subject line of an email, did you win the lottery? So, you know, maybe that's why they went away, instead of it, you know, being a negative thing. If the relationship is entirely professional, you would want to consider what's worked in the past with them. If you are new to the account or there was another CSM on the account in the past, right? So collect as much information as you can. But I think the best policy is always to be straightforward. You know, do your homework, make sure that you've researched, maybe has something gone on with their company? Do they have a merger or acquisition? Is the person that you consider your sponsor still on board at the company? You know, check LinkedIn, but also prepare yourself with data. There's a downward trend or something odd going on. Ask them directly, is that what they expected? And if not, why? So I think reactivating a dormant customer is part art and part science. And you really have to arm yourself with as much information as you can to discuss a path forward.
Got it. I love that statement. It's both art and science, because if you have done your homework, if you know them well, definitely there are high chances that you can reactivate them faster. Awesome tactic, Ronnie. Thank you so much for sharing this. We have covered a lot of ground here, but let's also cover one of the important topic about prospecting. Could you please shed some light on prospecting as a CSM and why it's needed?
Yeah, sure. And I think even with a dormant customer or no matter where you are in the customer journey, I think it's really important to always have that prospecting hat on. Some time ago, I don't even know who to give credit to, but I heard the term habitual prospecting and it really resonated with me. Obviously, it's meant for sales professionals, but it is an activity that applies to customer success. It's really simple, actually. It just means that you're, again, common theme here, listening and learning. And you are becoming aware of details that might not otherwise have been made available to you. So in every interaction that you have, you are prospecting for new information that can help you do all the things you do best and that make your customer successful. And that can be things as simple as getting ahead of departures, upcoming family leave, changes in direction of the business, right? Sometimes those things are not shared with you, even when you ask directly, it can come out more organically. If you hear a customer mention competitors, right, that those are things that are all going to be important to you. And even it's important, I talk a lot about human to human communication. It's really good to know what the humans behind the customer or that account name are doing. What do they enjoy doing? What's going on with them? So that's what prospecting means to me. It's just kind of always having your ear to the ground and being, you know, open to the conversation, not being entirely scripted, if you will.
Yeah, got it. I totally understand. It again links back to the previous thing which we discussed, is, you know, digging the information, finding out what they exactly need, and so that we can actually help them. You know, I always thought that prospecting is just for sales, but, you know, listening to you, Ronnie, I feel that yes, CSM should also do some sort of prospecting. Okay, so Ronnie, one more thing, you know, that has amazed me in 2020 was, like, I followed your journey and you got a job at Zoom Communications quite early. And, you know, a lot of people, a lot of listeners actually are searching for a job right now. So I want to know what kind of secret tips that you have that can help, you know, few CSMs to get their next role faster.
Right. Well, I will say that I feel incredibly blessed and lucky to have had a short time between being furloughed and coming on board at Zoom. And I've actually, my entire career journey after leaving media in 2013 has been a bit bumpy. So I have a lot of empathy for people who are unemployed right now. And there are unfortunately a lot due to the pandemic. But one of the things that really changed for me last year, and I think led me to my role now, is that I decided to become the expert of myself. I took what I liked of what people were saying and I left the rest. I was reading a lot and I was listening a lot. I was connecting a lot. I had obviously opinions of family and friends and colleagues and even the experts, quote unquote, in job searching. I think it's a very personal experience. And so that's why I say become the expert of yourself. Be honest about what you know and what you don't. Yeah. Be honest about what you want to know. And we often get asked, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? I like to express the latter as stretch goals, not weaknesses. And one of the things too that I think we miss, because as a candidate, we're a little bit on our heels when we come into a job search, you know, a job interview. It's perfectly okay to ask questions of your prospective employer. Yeah. Remember that you're negotiating a partnership here, and you're bringing value. You're bringing the value of your expertise and your experience in exchange for what your prospective employer brings, which is culture, a paycheck, and anything else that's important to you. But specific to customer success, I also encourage you to be really clear on your definition of it. Obviously, we can be open to it, but we should be clear on what the prospective employers is as well by asking questions. Do they think of it as an operating philosophy? Is it a discipline? Is it just a set of responsibilities? Because it's really critical that you have that synergy or the ability to resonate with how they have their CS work set up. It's really about understanding how you fit in. And then the last thing that I would add is, for a lot of people who are interested in moving into customer success from different roles, as I have, it's very important to think about your equitable skill set. So what are some of the things that you've done in the past that would apply, right? So is it technical support? Is it project management? Is it relationship management, account management? Any of those things are going to apply, you know, to a CS role. So again, be the expert of yourself. Get really clear on what is in your skills inventory. And don't be afraid to ask questions.
You know, hearing to the story, Ronnie, it sounded more like a transformative journey. And it was indeed wonderful to hear. Thanks for sharing those tips, Ronnie. And I'm pretty sure that would help out other job seekers out there. Before we close this conversation, Ronnie, do you have something else that you would like to share today with the audience?
Yes, I thought you'd never ask. I actually want to introduce a new community that I am a founding member of,
Great.
Called CS Yes, CS Ladies, which will be launching on International Women's Day, March 8th. Now, what makes, I know there are a lot of micro communities out there, and I'm really excited about it. Lots of wonderful podcasts such as yours. What makes our community unique is that it is for customer success professionals and aspiring customer success professionals. Of course, it is targeted towards women. We are multicultural, multilingual, but we're focused on the we're focused on self-improvement. We are going to be a much more niche type group where we are helping women upskill. We're talking about women's issues. We're talking about, you know, wearing all the hats that women do. And we're also encouraging those that aren't necessarily interested in being super visible, or maybe right now they're not very visible and they'd like to increase their visibility in the space, that sort of thing. So be on the lookout for more about that, but I'm very excited about it. And I appreciate you letting me introduce it here.
Awesome, Ronnie. I wish you all the best for that. And I would be happy to link, you know, if you have any LinkedIn page or you have a website or anything, in the description of this podcast.
We're getting there.
Great. So Ronnie, it has been a pleasure to have you here on the podcast today to discuss customer success relationship. I think you are a true inspiration to us all, and I think you have a great career in customer success. I will continue to follow you with utmost interest, and thank you so much for taking out your time out of your busy schedule and record this podcast with me. I wish you very ongoing success in your current role at Zoom.
It was my pleasure, Ankit. I love following you as well, and I look forward to many more conversations.
Great. Just to remind you, I have been talking to Ronnie Gan, and we have been discussing how to accelerate customer relationships. My name is Ankit, and you were listening to the CS Mentor podcast. Thank you for listening to this episode, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.